Well, good morning.
Certainly a joy to be in God's house today. We do want to welcome you to the services here at Meridian Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us, as always, we're glad that you're with us. We pray that you truly experience God's presence as we worship the Lord together. Do us a favor, as our guests, we want to get acquainted with you and get to know you better. If you'll take just a few moments and fill out the guest card there in front of you in the pew and simply place in the offering plate at the appropriate time. I do have just a couple of announcements as we get started this morning. You'll notice a few things in your bulletin that I do want to mention. Our Valentine banquet is just around the corner. It's this coming Saturday, February 15th at 6 o'clock. The last day to get tickets is tomorrow, so be sure and get your tickets. And today after service, you'll be able to get those to my left and to your right just outside the library. So again, the cost of the tickets, $20 per person. $40 per couple. We're going to have a wonderful time together as we fellowship and enjoy the Valentine season. Also, the Valentine Tree Teacher's Wish List, that is our February mission project, and we're helping out New Hopewell and Bonnie Kate Elementary Schools. If you would like to help out with that particular project, also just outside the library, you'll find the Valentine Tree. Today is a very special day, our annual Gideon Sunday. And so our very own Arthur Kirkland will be speaking today on behalf of the Gideons. I know that Meridian Baptist Church has always had a rich history with the Gideons, and I'm thankful for that. And we certainly look forward to this special time together as we come for this special service. Let's all stand together at this time and ask God's blessing upon this service as we dedicate it to Him and just ask His blessing. Let's pray. Father, we are forever grateful for the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Father, as we begin this service, we give it to you. It belongs to you. Lord, we acknowledge that this service is not about us. It's not about Meridian Baptist Church, but rather it's all about you. Lord, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the price for our sins, something that we could not do for ourselves. And so, Lord, as we come together, we pray that we would worship you and do so in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you'd be with Brother Arthur today as he'll be sharing about Gideon's and the Gideon ministry. Lord, I pray that you would just use his message to impact our lives. Lord, thank you for the furtherance of the gospel, that we can come together and to worship you and to encourage each other through prayer and Bible study. Father, we ask that through these events, through this service, that you would be glorified. If there's someone here today that has never been saved, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Remain standing if you will.
Old familiar hymns today. Come on, y'all sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
children.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going? Y'all are awfully quiet today. That's all right. Here comes Grayson. It won't be long. I'm just kidding. Hey, buddy. You're faster. I want you to sit right there for me.
I'm faster than Trinity.
You're faster than Trinity?
I'm
faster. All right. I love that kid. He's awesome. Okay, guys. How's it going today? Are you guys going to school? Most of us are going to school, but Monday, Tuesday, we're off. I know you're a little younger, but that's okay. You'll get there, Grayson. You'll have school one day, and you will have a teacher, right? You have a teacher? What does your teacher do? Oh, they teach you. Cool. Anything else? They take care of you, don't they? So do they show you how to walk in the line when you start in school? Here's how we sit in our chair. Show me how you learned how to sit. How'd you learn how to sit? Oh, very good. Are you supposed to sit and listen to them? Okay. They teach you maybe how to do your math, or they try to anyway. All the things, right? And then eventually there's a test that comes along, right, that shows how much you've learned from them, right? And hopefully you do well on that. If you're like me, you had to work really hard and you still didn't do well, but that's all right. We worked through it, and now I'm a teacher, so yay, right? Work hard and it works out for you, right? Well, everybody say disciples. Did you know a disciple is like a student? Did you know that? You didn't know that? You did? Cool. Well, let me tell you about it. Let me look at my notes, because otherwise I'm just going to be yapping up here. All right, and ultimately, a disciple is a student. So you can be a disciple, because guess what? Your teacher is Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is your teacher? He is. Are you trying to learn from him? I hope so. Is he trying to teach you? He is. So just like your regular teacher, he is your teacher. And that's what you should do as being a disciple, is you are following Jesus and you are learning from what he's trying to teach you, right? Where can you learn about Jesus?
At church.
At home. And Annika and her brother have a Bible. Look at that. You could learn about Jesus from his Bible, yeah? From his word. Yep. And so I have a book here. The story today that we're going to learn from is about Jesus sending his disciples out. And you know what it's called? It's called Jesus and the 12 Dudes Who Did. I like it. And it tells you all about all of his disciples. How many disciples did Jesus have? He had 12 disciples, and they were trying to learn from him, weren't they? And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, a long time ago, Jesus called 12 guys who were all different in goodness and size, and they were called disciples, and they followed Jesus closely, and they gave up their jobs, and they were fishermen mostly. Did you know that they were fishermen? But Jesus made them fishers of men, meaning that when he saw them, he was like, you're going to help me get some people and share the gospel, and they'll be saved and get to go to heaven. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So all of this book talks about is Andrew, hands to self. Andrew and all the disciples, each page talks about what they learned from their teacher Jesus and how they lived that out, what they learned. See, it's more than just to hear the word, but Jesus says, do the word. That's why this book says Jesus and the 12 dudes who did. It's important to not just, when you're learning your math facts, just sit there, well, when am I ever going to use this? But you should apply it to your life, right? In the same way, the Bible is very important. We should learn from it and do what it says, because it's even more important. Math's important. Science is important. You need to get a job and doing things, right? But the Bible is even more important. And today is Gideon Sunday, as they've already explained. Please stop. As they've already explained. And our very own Mr. Arthur Kirkland is a Gideon. Do you know what their job is? To make sure those Bibles get put in all the places that they can. They've put them in hotels. They've put them in waiting rooms and doctor's offices. I know I've been there and seen them in doctor's offices, right? And you can even get, as kids, you can get books like this in our library. Did you know that? Our library is open. It has all kind of books for you to learn from. So can you be a disciple for Jesus? Can Jesus be your teacher? And how are you going to learn from him? Reading your Bible. Yep. Very good? So that's a challenge for you. If you are not reading your Bible, you need to make sure you're reading it and learning from Jesus, okay? All right, well, let's pray and thank God for his word. Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for these children coming. Lord, we just pray that you would open up their hearts and minds to what your word says, and they've already learned so much today with their Sunday school class. So I pray as they go down to big church that they would sing and dance and learn more about your word, and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brenda, for that. I want to encourage you to look at the front of your bulletin, if you will, for our passage of Scripture. Our scripture reading for today, very fitting with it being Gideon Sunday. We have the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Let's stand together, take time out, and greet your neighbor. Hello, neighbor.
God, we come to you this morning asking that you forgive us of our sins and transgressions, Lord. As only you can, Father, thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, a gift we'll never understand, but we love you for it. Thank you for this church, and we pray for Brother Arthur as he brings the Gideon report and what they're doing to share the word of Christ throughout the world, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them in their mission, Lord. Pray for this offering, God, that you would bless the offering and the gift, the giver, Lord. We just want to tell you we love you this morning, God, and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No.
Thankful that that's part of the DNA and the makeup of Meridian Baptist Church. It's evident that the history of this church has always been closely knit together with Gideon's International. I know we've had many Gideons that have been a part of this great church, so we're thankful for that. And just my heartbeat as a pastor, I know this is my first year, but I want y'all to know that I will always be a champion and a supporter of Gideon's International. I'm thankful for all that they do across the globe. We will take up an offering at the end of service. We'll have some ushers at the doors, and that offering, of course, will be specifically for the Gideons. You can make your check to the Gideons, or you can make your check to the church. So you can make it to Meridian Baptist Church, and we'll get that to Cindy in the office, and then she'll be sending the donation to the Gideons. So that is the way that we'll approach the offering for this year. So guys, if you'll go ahead and cue up the video, and then after the video, Arthur, I'll turn it over to you.
Ephesians 2:12 says that to be without Christ is to be without hope. To live without Christ is to live in a state of uncertainty, with little expectation of the future, and with no real solutions to life's most difficult challenges. Much of the world exists in this state of hopelessness. But to find hope in the person of Jesus Christ is to find hope in its purest form. Hope in Christ is more than a momentary respite from pain, more than a wish of things to come. It is true and lasting. It provides us with a strong and assured expectation of what God has promised, and it changes who we are and how we live. This hope is part of our salvation. It provides power for living. It gives us joy. It gives us protection. It gives us strength and boldness. It gives us comfort and peace. It gives us confidence in ministry. As children of God, we abound in the hope of Jesus Christ, daily experiencing the blessing of calling Him Savior. If we believe His Word is alive and absolute, we should not be able to contain the hope inside of us. With every Bible we place, with every scripture we distribute, and with every word of witness we share, we offer true and lasting hope in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as there are people in the world who do not know Jesus, who do not have hope, our work is not finished.
Verses 19 and 20. Scripture says this: Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. If you would, let's bow together real quick in a moment of prayer. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the incredible gift you've given us, dear Lord, of which we're so unworthy, of your own Son. Dear Lord, thank you for your word that you've given us through your Son, dear Lord, that we have the opportunity to accept that, accept you as our Lord, and be saved, dear Lord, in spite of all of our sinfulness. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the word you've given us. I pray that you'd be with me this morning, dear Lord, and put your words in my mouth and be with us, dear Lord, as we distribute these words to the so many people in this world that so desperately need you. Dear Lord, thank you so much for what you've given us. I pray these things in Jesus' name, dear Lord. Amen. You know, one thing I think about as we were having our children's moment up here this morning, when I was 5 years old, okay, think of the smallest kids that were up here this morning. The craziness. When I was 5 years old, my family moved from Memphis, Tennessee to, believe it, Birmingham, Alabama. Okay, Birmingham, Alabama. My dad is for jobs. We moved down there. And so I started kindergarten in Birmingham, Alabama. By the time I got to first grade, of course, I had a lot of friends down there, and I was really learning a lot from them. And I came home one day, something really been on my heart, and I said, you know, Mom and Dad, I know you guys are big Tennessee fans, but I've decided I'm going to become an Alabama fan. And so they asked me a lot of questions about that. They really asked me what I was talking about with that. And pretty soon they said, you know what, we're going to move back to Tennessee. So we moved out of Birmingham. But where am I going with that? Well, when I was in first grade, we went to a church in Birmingham called Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Mountain Brook Baptist Church. It's a big church down there. And when I was in first grade, one of the things they did is they gave all the first graders a Bible. That's where I received my very first Bible, at Mountain Brook Baptist Church in the first grade. Now, my parents tell me to this day, they did not like having me in the service because I was the worst of the kids, okay? I made a lot of noise. I was rambunctious. As soon as I was out of the service, it was better because I had a lot of energy. But that's where I received my Bible. And to be honest with you, I was excited to have it. I probably underlined a few things. But I didn't do a lot with that Bible. I mean, I had one. When I got up we moved back to Memphis. And when I got into by the time I was in fifth grade, I was really struggling because so many of the kids in my school, you know, there were just a lot of kids that were mean. It was tough. There were a lot of mean kids. And so I got home and one night I was just crying because it was so hard at school. And so my mom came and talked to me and got my dad, and he came in and said, you know, and he talked to me about things, and he said, you know, here's your Bible. Why don't you read in your Bible? And you may find answers here. So I turned and started reading in Psalms, and it was amazing because everything I read exactly applied to what I was looking for, exactly what I needed. And I felt so much better as I was reading through the Word of God. Now, you know, fast forward many years, and I ended up moving to Knoxville when I was an adult, and I was going to a church here in Knoxville. I was teaching Sunday school. It was a pretty big church. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, it might have been 2007, one of the pastors approached me and said, "Hey, I've recommended you for the Gideons, the Gideon organization." I kind of knew a little bit about the Gideons. And so I said, "Well, that's great." And so I went to this thing, and they talked to me about what the Gideons are and whether or not I wanted to be a Gideon. So I said, "Sure, you know, I would love to be a Gideon." Well, I didn't hear anything for the Gideons. I was a Gideon, and I was paying these dues. And for 5 or 6 years, I thought, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And then I had a fellow that called me from our church, our big church. He said, "My name's Gene Hale, and I go to your church, and I'm with the Gideons." He said, "Do you want to be involved in our camp?" And I said, "Well, sure." And so I started going to these Gideon meetings. And so I'd been a Gideon for 5 years. I didn't know anything about them. I started meeting them at the camp, and there were some guys I met there. I met Gene Walkup. I met David Coulter. I met some great, very distinguished men. There were about 15 men at that time. But I met those men, and we talked about what it is to be a Gideon, what it is to give out God's word and how it's so needed so many places. Can you think back to when you were young, maybe when you were five? And, you know, I was very fortunate to have grown up in a family that was Christian. There are a lot of people, I'm sure, in here that grew up in that same situation. And there are others of you in here that grew up in a situation where you weren't in that Christian environment when you were growing up. One of the things that we talk about, when I was a kid, I remember in church, there weren't many empty seats. And I speak in a lot of churches. I've been to many churches. A lot of churches really don't have many people right now. There are a lot of empty seats in a lot of churches. It's not what it was when I was a kid. There are not as many kids that are getting that Bible at church like there were when I was a kid, or maybe when you were a kid. There are not church kids that are being brought up going to church. There are adults that are not going to church now. It's different now than it was, I know, when I was a kid. That's part of where the Gideons are going to come into play. But I want to share with you some testimonies this morning, and I'm going to start out way back in 1941. I think the last time I talked to you guys at church was in a similar era. But in January 1941, there was a decision made to give New Testaments to the armed forces. And last time we talked about a story about this too. But December 2nd, 1941, the first distribution was made to the U.S. military. For you history buffs out there, what happened December 7th, 1941? Pearl Harbor, right? Pearl Harbor, that's what happened. Japanese attacked. So did the U.S. retaliate? Absolutely. The first group of U.S. retaliation, there was a fellow soldier by the name of Jacob. And so his crew was over bombing Japan. His plane was shot down. He went to he became a prisoner of war in Japan. Now, Jacob had a really strong conviction in his heart. He had received one of those testaments that had been given out a few days earlier. He had a really strong conviction in his heart about that testament. So he talked to the Japanese guys, the prison wards that were watching him, and they said, "You know what, can I please just read that book?" And they didn't see any harm in that. They said, "Okay." So they gave him that little testament to read. 3 weeks later, Jacob gave his life to Jesus Christ. Well, when Jacob finally, the war was over, Jacob got out. Jacob went to seminary, and he became a missionary. And guess where he went? Japan. He went to Japan. And he started going around. He made these little pamphlets. Have you ever seen these little pamphlets that pastors will make? And so Jacob's pamphlet said on it, "I was a prisoner of war in Japan." You think that got their attention? It sure did. So he'd hand those pamphlets out, said, "I was a prisoner of war." And he handed them out, and he wanted to help these people in Japan. That really caught a lot of people by surprise. Do you remember Paul Harvey? What was his expression? Now the rest of the story, right? Well, the rest of the story. There was, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they did so in fleets. There were 400 fleets in these, 400 aircraft fleets that would attack Pearl Harbor. The very first fleet of aircraft, 400 aircraft that attacked Pearl Harbor was led by a guy by the name of Captain Fushida. Okay, Captain Fushida. Now, that attack went very, very well, and Captain Fushida became a national hero in Japan. And he was so well-known and well-regarded that he actually had audience with the emperor, Emperor Hirohito. He knew him. He could go talk to Emperor Hirohito because he was so well-known. He was a national hero. He flew a lot of battles with the U.S. But for some reason, all these other guys that were in his crew were getting shot down. But he never did. In fact, he started thinking he had some kind of special protection because his plane wasn't getting shot down. August 5th, 1945, he was caught. He lived in Hiroshima, okay? He lived in Hiroshima. August 5th, 1945, he got a call where he needed to go to Tokyo. He left and went to Tokyo just hours before Hiroshima was attacked. So later, he started living on a farm. He was very impoverished. He didn't have a whole lot. He couldn't stand Americans. He had every reason to despise Americans, and he couldn't stand them. But after about a year of living on that farm, and he struggled with anything American, Fushida met a man named Jacob DeShazer, who gave him a Bible. Now, who was Jacob DeShazer? Well, guess what? It's that same Jacob. It's that same Jacob that had been a prisoner of war and had been brutally kept in captivity in Japan. And Fushida, he is just totally puzzled why Jacob would care enough about him to come offering forgiveness and preaching about a God who wanted to forgive him. So Fushida, in his puzzlement, he started reading through that scripture. He started reading through that Bible that had been given to him. He made it to the book of Luke, okay? He made it to the book of Luke. He got to Luke chapter 23, verse 34, which says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That verse caught him. It totally caught him off guard. Mr. Fushida gave his life to Jesus Christ. He didn't wait around. He didn't just give his life to Jesus and close his Bible and sit down. Mr. Fushida started witnessing almost immediately, telling other people about Jesus, what he was learning here. He was a very well-known guy in Japan. So when he started doing this, news spread widely. He was traveling around Japan. He was talking to people. He was evangelizing throughout Japan. In fact, his evangelical ministry spread to America. He started coming to America and speaking to Americans about Jesus and about what Jesus had done in his life. He got to be good friends with a guy in America by the name of Billy Graham. Okay? He started actually going, and he would speak at some of Billy Graham's rallies. He witnessed for about 30 years. His message was, our solution to the world's problems is not war. Jesus Christ. He told so many people that. Now, Mr. Fushida died in 1976. I mean, it's been a little while since all this happened. But how can something so extraordinary like that happen in a place like Pearl Harbor? How can such an extraordinary event where a guy totally changes his life like that happen? It happens because a church like Meridian Baptist Church is willing to get that Bible to place in that person's hands that so desperately needs to know about Jesus. That's how that happens. That's why that happens. God works through the faithfulness of believers. He does. Every time, he does. I'm going to share another verse with you, and I've shared this one with you before, from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, says this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." What does that verse say? If God's word is put out there, if God's Bible is placed, if God's Bible is handed out, what's going to happen? It will not return void. God's going to use that Bible. He's going to change lives with that scripture. That's what this verse tells us. That verse is the mission statement of the Gideons. Okay, that's what the Gideons is all about. Mark, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 says this. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, I've shared here with you guys before, a lot of Gideons have shared in this church. This has been such a faithful church to our ministry and helped us so much in what we do. But we have around 270,000 members. Now, they're members worldwide of the Gideons. There are a lot of Gideons out there. We've had a lot of Gideons from this church. We serve in about 200 countries, territories, provinces. The Bibles that we distribute in over 80 languages. We actually have a Gideon app that's got about 2,000 languages on it. So if regardless of what language it is, we can find a way to reach them. Where do we put Bibles? A lot of you have seen our Bibles, hospitals, churches. We put them in motels and hotels. You know, if you open the drawer, a lot of times there's a Gideon Bible there. Retirement homes, police departments, fire departments, waiting rooms, the armed forces. There are a lot of places where Bibles are given out. Prisons. Okay. So who are the Gideons? I mean, we're not another denomination. We don't magically make Bibles reappear. Gideons are business and professional men who are members of local churches, just like Meridian and the women, the wives that are part of our Gideon auxiliary. But we all believe this. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God. That's a very, very important statement because there are a lot of churches that are definitely getting away from that. The Bible is this, the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God. We believe this. The Bible has not changed. It hasn't changed. His word has not changed. God in the beginning is the same as God now, it's the same as God in the end. Regardless of what our culture is telling us, God is the same. So what's our mission? Our mission is to share the word of God with the world so that people can be won over to Jesus Christ. So what are the goals? Well, you know, we want to strengthen the faith of Christian businessmen. We want to help maintain that strong personal testimony, placing Bibles in strategic locations, you know, the traffic lanes of life, trying to bring people to that saving knowledge in Jesus Christ and putting a Bible in every hotel room in the United States. That's our goal. The Gideons is, it's kind of an interdenominational association of Christian businessmen and their wives that was founded in 1899 by a couple of salesmen up in Wisconsin. Personal witnessing. Gideons share their personal testimony. Bible distribution. You know, we put Bibles in prisons, hospitals, military facilities, hotels, and partnerships with local Protestant churches. You know, we look around the world today, and we look at things like the Ukraine, and right now with all our political situation in the U.S. and transferring power from this to that, we hear a lot about the Ukraine. But there was a Gideon camp. There are about 2,700 Gideons in the Ukraine, about 3,900 Gideons in Russia. There's a Gideon camp near Kiev, and a man named Victor is a member of that camp. Victor had a heart. He really had that was praying to have that opportunity to witness. Victor volunteered for the military in Ukraine. He wasn't recruited. He just volunteered. The reason he volunteered is he told his friends, the Lord has called me to go to the war zone and share his word with the soldiers. Victor volunteered and went to the front line in the Ukraine. He wanted to take God's word to the soldiers. He had a time of leave in December 2022, and he went back to his church and shared with them what was going on, told them about what's going on at the line, up at the line at the front where the war was going on. He told them about what's happening. And you know, that provided hope for his church. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be living in the Ukraine right now? And how little hope there would be, because there's not much positive coming to those people. It's kind of a gloomy place to live right now in the Ukraine. There's not much word of hope. But Victor came back to his church, and he told him about the hope, about the witnessing he'd been able to do with soldiers on the front line. He said, "We had one particular soldier who gladly took the word of God into his heart, and he repented." So there's a lot of uncertainty there. Victor returned to his military unit in Bakhmut. It's a place called Bakhmut. And shortly after, he went to be with his Lord Jesus Christ. He died in battle. But the thing to remember here, he was about 51 years old when he passed away. Our time here on this earth, it's limited, right? And a lot of times we forget that. We go through our daily motions, we go through our daily lives, we forget our time here is limited. We got to ask ourselves this: what's my story? What is the story that people are going to remember about me? God spoke to Victor. God said, I'm going to work through you. And you know what? Victor's story is still living today. Why is that? Because Victor made the decision to say yes to the Lord. That's what Victor did. God speaks to all of us. The question is, what's the decision we make? Do we make the decision to say yes to the Lord, or I'm going to go my own way? I have a testimony here from, has anyone ever been to Henry County, Tennessee, Paris? The Fish Fry, have you ever heard of Paris, Tennessee? They do have a small Eiffel Tower there, okay, West Tennessee. You've got the lakes there and everything. But there's Gideon Camp in Henry County that has a great jail ministry, okay? Now, the jail ministry for the Gideons, a lot of times we'll go to hotels and we're going through either placing new Bibles, or we have old Bibles that have been torn up a little bit or marked in. We'll pick those up, we take the cover off, and those Bibles go to the prison ministry, okay? So there's a big prison ministry with the Gideons. So we had this testimony from Henry County. It said, "We arrived at the local jail for our usual time of Bible study. This time, we noticed two new faces in our regular group of men. Upon sharing their stories, we learned that one man, Benham, grew up in Turkey before moving to America. We welcomed both of them into our time of fellowship and began the devotion. The lesson centered on Jesus and his deep love for all of us. We ended in our typical fashion, engaging with the men about their relationship with the Lord and the idea of salvation. This conversation didn't surprise our regular attendees, but the new guys were intrigued. Following God's instruction, we encouraged the men to look at the book of Romans with us. They looked at Romans. Their faces brightened with understanding as we shared the gospel with them. When we were certain that they had understood, we asked if we could lead them through the prayer of salvation in the back of the Testament. And both men readily accepted. We said amen, and the room filled with celebration. I looked over at Benham and saw the tears rolling down his cheeks. He was made new. A few days later, I shared this story with a friend, mentioning a bit about Benham's heritage and transformation. My friend sat stunned before me. He said, "My Sunday school class was praying for Benham's salvation." The two of us recognized how wonderfully God's plans work when some are willing to pray for a miracle and others are bold enough to proclaim his great name. And so that's what happened in the Henry County camp, but that's just an example. We have prison ministries right here in East Tennessee. We have Prentice ministries all over the country. So what are some things that are going on locally? Well, one of the things we've shared about with you guys a lot is our scripture blitz that we do every year over here at the University of Tennessee. Now, I'm a big Tennessee fan, but I tell you what, if you really look at Tennessee and you look at some of the things going on over there on the university, they need Jesus. There are a lot of people that so desperately need Jesus there. We go to UT, we do a scripture blitz September every year. We usually have a little over 100 Gideons that show up. They come from, some of them come from out of state, but they're coming from all from Middle Tennessee, a lot from East Tennessee. We got a lot of Gideons that show up. And we used to give out 10 or 11,000 Bibles, and now it's getting harder. Students don't always want to take them as much as they used to. But I think this year we gave out 5 or 6,000. I think 5,600 sounds about right. But we also give a lot of little tracts where people can scan it and look at it on their phone. A lot of the college students like to do it that way. But interestingly, the University of Georgia has a scripture blitz the same day going on down there. What we're seeing at the university campuses is a lot of universities are saying, hey, you know what, you can't go all over our campus now. We're going to give you this 100 by 100 foot area, and you have to stay and do your scripture blitz right there. That's not the situation right now at the University of Tennessee, but we're seeing more and more restrictions coming up around the country. But what is that? It's an opportunity to share with students, an opportunity to share with the staff. But you know, when the Gideons are giving those Bibles out, like I said, we have 100 some odd people over there. The Gideons are physically giving out these Bibles. It's really you. It's people at Meridian Baptist Church. It's people at other churches around Knoxville that are really giving that Bible out. That's really you giving that Bible. That Bible would not be there to give if it wasn't for the support of our local churches. We're an extension of this church. We're an extension of other Christian churches in this area. We partner with the Baptist Collegiate Ministry Center over there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the BCM. When I was in school, it was called the Baptist Student Union. They have changed names, but it's the same organization. And so we partner with them. And last year, you know, we give so many of these out. We place so many of these Bibles. But a lot of times you don't hear any feedback about what's happening. You place it, you pray about it, and you know God's working, but you don't hear feedback. But last year, we had somebody that called us, they may have called Cynthia, from the BCM. And they shared with us. They said, hey, you know what? We went to eat at a restaurant on the Strip, back when there still were restaurants on the Strip at UT. We went to eat at a restaurant on the Strip, and our waitress asked us if we were the ones that gave out those Bibles. And so we got into the conversation with that waitress and shared with her about what was with the Bible, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. It all had to do with that Bible she received at that distribution at the University of Tennessee. We know God's at work. We have distributions every year at the Walter State campuses around East Tennessee. And we know God's working in that. We have a distribution every year at the Tennessee Valley Fair. Have you been to the fair before? Let me tell you, if you like to people watch, it's a great place to go. You meet all types of different people at the fair, and you hear testimonies from different people as you're talking to them about Jesus and handing out, you know, New Testament scriptures. You see people that are saved, but you also know that some of these people are taking these Bibles home and God's working in their lives. And sometimes it's a long process as God works to grow them in their lives. So one of the places we go every year is the Tennessee Valley Fair. The Gideons actually spend a week there. We rent a booth and we have shifts, so we go over there. We did some distributions this year in Market Square, and so that was kind of interesting. We met some good people and had some people that made some decisions in Market Square. Every year, the Gideons place these hotel Bibles in Pigeon Forge, the hotel capital of the world, okay? There are 22,000 hotel rooms, 22,000 in Pigeon Forge. So the Gideons do that placement over a two-day period. In fact, that was last week. We had Gideons that went to Pigeon Forge. We meet up at, got a meeting space, and then we divide up into groups of 4 to 6 people, and they give you a list of the hotels for your group, and you go to those hotels one after another. You talk to them. We've already called ahead. We go in, we go room by room, and either place brand new Bibles in all the rooms that don't have Bibles, or we look for Bibles that are rooms that are missing Bibles and place Bibles. Sometimes you find a Bible that's defaced or has an issue, we replace those. But once again, that only happens because of churches like Meridian Baptist Church. The Gideons are physically the people doing that, but it's churches like Meridian that are responsible for those 22,000 Bibles, or, well, the Bibles for 22,000 hotel rooms, I should say. It's a lot of Bibles. While that ministry is going on, we also have the opportunity to minister to staff at those hotels. We get a chance to share our testimony. We get a chance to tell people about Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, we can have some very attentive housekeepers. We can have some very attentive hotel staff, desk clerks at the front. But it's amazing. Sometimes it's somebody you wouldn't expect. But it's amazing how God can work in these lives. I had to go get my oil changed the other day. It was actually on Shauna's car. And the place I normally use was too busy. So I decided to go up here to, I think it was Jiffy Lube. And they did a fantastic job, by the way. But while I was sitting in the waiting room, I noticed in there the Gideon Bible. And you may notice these in so many rooms, but those are only in those hotel rooms because of churches like Meridian Baptist. UT Hospital, now, there are a lot of hospitals locally. There's some hospitals locally. We can't go in and they won't let us put Bibles in every room. Not all hospitals will allow that around here. UT Hospital calls us. They have a lady that works at the hospital that gives those Bibles out to people that need those Bibles at the hospital. So we keep that lady stocked with the Gideon Bibles. So sometimes you wonder, you know, when you're going out, and it's just part of human nature, you know, I want to tell people about Jesus, but I'm worried. What if I mess up? What if they don't come to Christ? We can have those thoughts in our minds, those doubts that Satan wants to put in our minds about sharing with other people. And so this is a great way through the Gideons to be able to give those Bibles out, to give people that opportunity to come to know who Jesus is. You'll come every year, the greatest need of the Gideons is prayer. Man, there's so many things that we need prayer for. So many things. Pray for those Gideons in Russia and Uzbekistan. Pray for those people, you know, the thousands of people that received a testament at the University of Tennessee. Pray. We know those will not return void. Pray that God will use those testament in the lives of people and bring those people to Him. Pray for each and every one of these Bibles that's placed in a hotel room in Pigeon Forge. And we have Bibles. Our camp is the central camp. That's the camp that Jack and I are part of, the central camp in Knoxville. And so we have hotels that we go to and put Bibles in that are within the central camp region. But pray for each and every one of those Bibles that's placed in each and every one of those hotel rooms. Pray for countries around the world that won't let us in with God's holy word. One of the country we're praying for this week, we pray for different countries every week, is Afghanistan. Pray for Afghanistan. Pray that God will bring those barriers down and that we'll be able to take these into Afghanistan and give them out to so many people that need God's word and need to know who Jesus Christ is. Pray that the doors stay open here in the United States. Pray that the doors stay open for us to be able to go and distribute God's word. You know, one of the things this church does a great job with is up in Huntsville, Tennessee. You know, this church is fantastic. Go up and it's through Mission of Hope. And to be able to minister to all those kids in the elementary school and the middle school and go to the park and give Bibles out. And it's such an open school system to be able to go and minister to kids. But so many of our school systems here in Tennessee, it's all based on the district. We need so much prayer. Pray for Knox County schools. We can't go in Knox County schools with the scripture. Now, there are a couple of, there's a church program where they're working through a certain church in the area on going in to share in a certain way, but pray that God will open those doors to Knox County schools and to other county schools around this area. We need those doors to be open. Finally, every year we do come, and if God has laid it on your heart, if God has put it on your heart, you know what? I want you to support this ministry with these Bibles. And you feel like you're moved to give on this. These hotel Bibles cost about about $1.80 a piece, $180. Back up. These small Bibles cost $1.80 a piece. A box of 100 is $180. So $180 covers the manufacturer or purchase, the distribution, everything on these Bibles. So $180 for a box of these Bibles not only purchases the Bible, it gets them exactly where they need to go, wherever it is in the world. But that's what these Bibles are running now. And those Bibles only come because of churches like Meridian. These hotel Bibles are now $6.50. They come in boxes of 25. So a box of 25 of these is $162.50. But that's what it costs to get those Bibles so that things can happen, like putting Bibles in 22,000 rooms in Pigeon Forge, or handing out thousands of Bibles at the University of Tennessee or Walter State, or so many of these other places, the University of Georgia, that we do these distributions. If you decide you wanted to give, and I know Michael mentioned it earlier, but the church will be taking up, have people at the doors to an offering. And of course, you can give cash or write a check. And I think you could either write your check to Meridian or to the Gideons, just put the note on what that's about there. We actually have our forms, the Gideon forms, which we have a Gideon box back here by the pastor's office, where you can actually scan the code and give by credit card. So that's available as well. But I just want you to remember that when a Bible is placed in a hotel room or a Bible's given out, that's you that's giving that out. That is you doing that for the Lord. And I really appreciate, you know, all that Meridian has done. God uses what we give to buy Bibles. When you give a dollar, every cent of that goes to the purchase or shipment of that Bible. If we as Gideons go somewhere, or we travel somewhere, or we're doing something, we pay that out of our own pocket. So I want to leave you with this passage. This is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you.
Received a Gideon Bible, and in the back of that Gideon Bible were a handful of verses referred to as the Roman Road. And every time I've ever extended a gospel invitation, I have leaned heavily upon those verses. I truly believe those verses explain the gospel in a nutshell. In other words, in a way that's very simplistic, a way that we can understand that. So I want to share those verses with you as we prepare for a gospel invitation today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. The Bible also says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says God commendeth, that is, demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then finally, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, that simple collection of verses explains the gospel. And I pray that in your spiritual pilgrimage that there's been a point in your life when you've called upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And if that's the case, you walked through those verses, so to speak. And there came that point on the timeline when you realized that you were a sinner, that you were in need of salvation, that there was nothing that you could do in your own efforts and your own accomplishments and your own standing to earn your way to heaven, that heaven simply was a free gift provided by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we have a gospel invitation, I pray that you would take spiritual inventory this morning and ponder where you stand with the Lord. If you've never given your heart to Christ, in just a moment, I want to encourage you to step out. It'd be an honor to sit down with you and show you within the pages of God's Word what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we give you this invitation. Thank you for Brother Arthur, his message today from the Gideons. And Lord, we're reminded through these words of testimony, these words of just changed lives through the Gideons. Lord, we are reminded of the power of the gospel. And Lord, we ask that as we come to the invitation, Lord, that it truly would be just that, an invite to do business with you. Father, if there's someone here today that has never trusted in you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, that you'd clearly speak to their heart and show them the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in the strong, beautiful, powerful, precious name, Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together, Brother Dennis. Ask our ushers for the Gideon offering, if you'll go ahead and make your way to the exits as we prepare for the offering. Just a couple of announcements as we dismiss today. We have a safety and welcome meeting originally scheduled for today after service. We are going to postpone that meeting to next Sunday. So if you're part of the safety and welcome team, our meeting today will be next Sunday, and we'll get more information to you about that. Also, if you're part of the student minister search team, We have a meeting today at 3:30 here at the church, and Personnel Committee will also be meeting with us. So we're making headway in that area. We're excited to let the church know that next Sunday, at the quarterly business session after service, our committee will be making an announcement pertaining to a candidate. So we're very excited about that news to share with you. But again, we have a committee meeting today at 3:30, and I promise you this, you'll be home in time for the Super Bowl. So I know that's the big question for those on those committees. But nevertheless, I'm excited to see what God will do through that ministry opportunity. I'm going to lead us in a closing word of prayer. Again, our ushers will be at the exits, and I just pray that as we go out today that we would be the gospel that we God would have us to be in living out the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Gideons. We are reminded today just the global impact and the global outreach that we see through the furtherance of the gospel with the Gideon ministry. Lord, we pray that as we depart today that we would be the lighthouse that you've called us to be, that we truly would be hands and feet for the gospel. Father, be with us now as we depart. May your name be glorified in all things. Father, use this offering they're about to receive for the furtherance and upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.